Shalom Aleichem, on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to take 10 for Talmud. Baba Basra Chafei, Baba Basra 25a, pagination is 49, starting from the top line, Masnisin the new Mishnah. Marchikim es hanavelos ves hakvoros ves habursiki min ha'ir chamishim ama. We must distance the carcasses, that means that they're working with dead animal bodies, and it's smelly. It has to be distant from the city, as well as a graveyard, people that are being buried in a cemetery, and a tannery has to be distanced from the city, Chamishim Amo, 50 Amo. We're dealing in this section of the Talmud with different zoning restrictions, what you're allowed to do where, and even though you own the property, you can't just do whatever you want there because it's recognized that it's similar to an arrow that you're shooting, even though you are where you are, but you're affecting something at the distance. And that's what's happening over here, as Rashi says, Mishum Reyach Ra, because of a bad smell. Indeed, the Mishnah continues and says, "Ein osin bursiki ela lemizrach ha'ir." There are specific directions in which you could place the tannery, because we recognize, that different winds are stronger than others and can affect the impact of this smell location on the city. Now, Rashi tells us that the reason for these three items that are recognized in our Mishnah as significant items to pay attention to in terms of this distance from the city, Rashi says, Mishum Reyach Ra, because of a bad smell. So the carcasses, we understand, they're being processed on the surface of the ground. The tannery, we understand, the typical methodology was in a way that it was going to smell at the distance. But a cemetery, what would happen if the cemetery was done in a way that indeed they dug deeply? Our expression is 6 feet under, and therefore there is no smell. Is there still such a restriction as our Mishnah describes? So it is very interesting that in Shulchan Aruch Hilchas Avelus, Simen Shin Samach Hei, there's a discussion about making the cemetery distant from the city, at least initially. Sometimes the city keeps growing and ends up over there, but intentionally the cemetery is supposed to be out of the city. And the Levush, as quoted in the Shach, says the reason because we don't want a cemetery right in front of people on a regular basis because it would take away from the serenity of life, which is a fascinating concept. Shalo yifku'u bo tamid v'yis atzvu. They shouldn't encounter it regularly and become sad. Even though death is predictable, sooner, later, we have an expression, after 120, there is a concept that people die. There's the joke, I was expecting an exception to be made in my case. But in general, this is what happens. Nevertheless, we're blessed with an ability to put it out of mind on an imminent basis so that we can function. It is true, the Mishnah in Avos, for example, Al korchach atameis. Against your will you were born, and against your will you will die. We're aware of it. Vishuv yom echad lefnei misascha. We have a tradition. Person should do tshuva one day before he dies, and you don't know when you'll die, so kol yomav b'tshuva. Your entire life should be with tshuva. So there is this concept, certainly, that we don't do a cemetery up front in the city, but, asks the Shach, that's not what our Talmud says. The reason that the Talmud gives is recha ra, because of a bad smell, and why would the Levush invoke a different reason? The Be'er Heitev writes that the point of the Levush is afilu hecha, even in a place where reach ra is not applicable. There is no bad smell upon the city because of the cemetery. Kigon shechofru v'kovru osa b'karka amok amok. Because they dug into the dirt, into the ground, deep, to the point that there is no smell. Nevertheless, there is going to be a restriction. It may not be 50 amma, but it is going to be a restriction. Shelo yiru tamid v'yis'atzvu, so that they should not see the cemetery regularly and become depressed. And this obviously is a big topic as to what is indeed the proper balance, both in mourning those who have passed and in terms of being aware that a person will eventually pass on and be obligated to give a din v'cheshbon on what he has done with his life. I'd like to add on one little piece from Amud Beis. It's on the fifth of the wide lines, and the topic is related because of the directions of the winds, and therefore, from one topic to the next, which winds are the strongest, and you have to distance if you're in that part of the city. We end up talking about directions. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak said, Harotze sheyachkim, a person who wants to become wise, smart, yadrim, should go to the south. Vishayashir, if he wants to become wealthy, yatspin, he should go to the north. Vesimoneich, and the reminder or the sign for this is that in the Beis HaMikdash Shulchan B'Tzafon, the table with the showbreads representing sustenance and prosperity was in the north. Umenorah bedarom, and the menorah, which represented illumination and wisdom and Torah, that's in the south. And the world is wired in such a way, so to speak, that the north and the south represent these themes. In Shulchan Aruch, it's indeed brought that there's such a concept during davening, even though there's a basic direction that we face during davening towards Yerushalayim, or in Yerushalayim, towards the Beis HaMikdash location. But in addition to facing in that direction, there's a certain amount that you could bend in the direction, symbolically perhaps, in the direction of south or in the direction of north, in order to obtain a greater connection to that particular focus in prayer. Rashi's words are, Yadrim bitifiloso. During his davening, he should face the south if he wants to connect with the menorah's legacy. Yachzir panav ledarom, he should turn his face to the south. And indeed, the way Rashi explains it is that his body is facing as everybody else in the Beis HaKnesses, the shul, is facing, but his face, he alters a little bit in a certain direction. And indeed, that's the way the Mishneh Berurah understands the application of this statement. One more line in the Gemara, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omar, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, La'olam Yadrim, you can always just go to the south, connecting with the menorah's legacy, Shemitoch Shemis Chakeim Misasher. If a person is smart, then he'll become wealthy. And indeed, we find in Navi, in a number of locations, the word maskil, which really would come from seichel, intelligence, means success. And the Mefarshim say, because when a person is successful, it appears that he's smart. People link the two. And the Gemara here says that according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, that would be a viable strategy, mitoch shemischakeim. If he's blessed with wisdom, misasher, he'll have physical prosperity as well. Yashar koach, thank you for joining.